Not your dude, Timmy Manchester.
Dinner. Dinner.
It's Shlomo Weisbot, Parshat Vayishlach.
Morning, everyone. It's going to start with some Hilchos Inshlachim. That is Dvorim Hasurim Mishum Sakonah. Things that are not allowed to be done because of a dangerous thing. As some will see, it's the first little Vatera, first one on the Sedra. In this week's Sedra, it speaks about. In this week's Sedra, it speaks about the story with Dina and Chamoyer. Interesting how the Torah is marich so much in this parsha of Dina and Chamoyer. That's Torah. It's the Modi Gavot, actually. A tremendous lesson one can learn from this parsha. He says, Shem had a very strong taiva to marry Dina. In fact, he was such a strong desire, he was managed to negotiate with the sons of Yaakov that he had to do certain things if he agreed to certain conditions. He did Bris Mila, and he managed to convince a whole town to do Bris Mila so that he could marry Dina. What do you see from here to the Daz Torah? He says, you see from here the Kerech HaRotzen. A person got desire to do something, he's got a strong desire to do something, it's very hard to stop him. Shechem had such a strong desire to marry Dina, he was mamish, he was able to overcome the impossible. I tried to convince my non-Jewish neighbor to do Bris Mila. I don't have much success. But he managed to convince the whole town. How did he manage that? Because he had a Kerech HaRotzen. And when there's a Kerech HaRotzen, there's a tremendous Kerech that a person has. A person wants to do something, is determined to do something. We don't often realize it ourselves, but this is the MS. A person's got a strong desire to do something. He can do it. Rerich Weinberg used to say a story of someone he used to know who owned a nursing home. In this nursing home, he had Yiddish people and non-Jews. So the rule in a nursing home was that the Yiddish people have to have kosher food, and the non-Jewish people, they can have non-kosher food. Well, it was interesting what you can do that. But nice, that's what he did. One day they have a health inspector who comes around and is inspecting everything, and the health inspector starts speaking to the people there. There's an old Jewish woman there who says to her that she's upset that she has to have kosher food there. She's quite happy with the other meals there, the non-kosher food, and she would like to change. So the health visitor approached the proprietor of the eat and he said, look, I'm very sorry, but you know, if a person wants to change to have non-kosher food, you've got no right to stop them. He said, well, it's a Jewish religion, we can't do it. He said, I'm sorry, this person's got a right, you've got no right to stop them. So he said to her, why don't I what to do? So he said, I decided to speak to this woman. I sat down and I said, the kosher food costs a lot more than non-kosher food, really. So you're getting a good deal, really. He said, I'm not interested. I'm happy to have the non-kosher food, it looks very good, I want to have it. So he said, I sat down with her and I started speaking to her. He said, I was there about 20 minutes telling her all the things. In the end, she changed, actually. She said, yeah, I'll have kosher food. So Rabbi Noach Weinberg said, what did you say to her? He said, I don't really know. I can't remember what it was. It was a punchline. I can't remember what it was. But he said, I was so determined to make it she would not have non-kosher food in my establishment that I tried everything out of the book. Baruch Hashem, it worked. It's a tremendous thing. A Kerech HaRotzen, a person who's got a Kerech HaRotzen to do something, you don't realize what one can achieve. Okay. So let's look a little bit at the halachas of Dvorim HaAsurim Mishum Zakonah. I just want to give you a little introduction over here. That means there's certain things, obviously, which is a clear cut, it's dangerous. When a person runs across the road when the cars are coming, you don't need to, it's not rocket science there, it's posh, it's dangerous. That everyone understands, a person has to do this, one has to look after oneself. There's certain things that Chazal tell us are not good for us. The question is now, once Chazal have told us this, they've told us it's not good for us to eat. What is it now? Is it drabonim to not follow them? Is it issa min haTorah? So this seems to be machlokas actually. Some hold that you're even issa deraisa if you eat these foods which are dangerous. I must tell you, we'll see better show when we get through a few of the things here. Not all of the things Chazal said in the Gemara is dangerous, mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. But certainly the ones that are mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, certainly the ones that be very careful about not to transgress over this. If one does, it's questionable one's over an issa deraisa or one's over an issa drabonim. That's the thing. Now you might ask, and many people do ask this, Lamaisa, the non-Jews eat these foods. Let's take the first one I'm going to start with, fish and meat. So Chazal tells us this is dangerous, one shouldn't do this. So many people might tell you that Lamaisa, they know many non-Jews who do this, there's no problem. There's no problem at all. So why should we be more different? And that number four, she was saying, I think it's a Chassam Sofer, I think, that a Yid's diet is different to a non-Jew's diet. It's the whole nechus of a Yid, the guf, the neshama, has an effect on a person, and therefore his body is different to the body of a goy. So one can't bring a raya from the guf of a non-Jew to the guf of a Yid. Suffice to say that Chazal say that there are certain things we shouldn't do, and therefore one should listen to what they're saying. So most of these are quite obvious. Let's start with the first one, which is probably the one brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's very, very well known. And that is the halach of not eating fish with meat. Not eating fish and meat together. That means there's no issa to cook the fish and meat together. That's not an issa. That's only about possible machalah. Meat and milk matter go together. The issa of fish and meat is eating the fish and meat together. So I don't know what you're going to have or what's on the menu for it, but I mean, I'm sure it can happen. I'm sure you can have something. Anyway, I've got a good idea. Fish and meat together? I don't know. I don't think it's served so much in restaurants.
Sorry? Together on the same plate at the same time.
Well, as long as you're not eating at the same time, you mustn't eat it at the same time. You have to have a break between the seal, between the meat and the fish. But you have a break in between. Well, you haven't finished. You have to wait for the shear. After I'm eating it together.
Is it the same meat?
I'm talking about, let's say someone's got a sandwich. I mean, today's world is not a Kiddush, actually, but you've got a nice burger, and you've got on one side of the burger a nice piece of fish, and another part, underneath it, you've got a piece of meat, and you bite into both. That is wrong to do. That is dangerous. Eating fish and meat together is dangerous. I must say, that's a dangerous thing. I mean, it can happen, this actually. Someone told me once, I mean, I heard this shayla once with pizza. This is a good shayla. Someone told me once that someone was making cholent, came on Shabbos morning to serve the cholent. They took the kishka out, so-called kishka, and the maaser, what it was actually pizza. That was a nice blend, pizza and cholent. I don't know what it tasted like, because that, you understand, it was a mistake, they didn't do it on purpose, but I understand they took out the cup, they took out the freezer in a foil, something was wrapped up in foil, and they put it inside the cholent, and the mice, it was a piece of pizza together with cholent. Why was that? The whole lot's also. The whole lot. Throw the whole lot out. What? That's not a problem. So they made it a little bit open. They made it a little bit open. That was a problem. This is more realistic, though, actually. Someone put in a canadle into chicken soup, so he thought. The mice said the chicken soup tasted very nice. When it tasted the canadle, they realized it was a piece of fish. It was a gefilte fish. It was a ball of fish. Now, that's a serious problem. That is a problem of meat with milk. Well, meat and fish together is a problem. There's no chilek, and there's a good point actually. In this halacha, there's no chilek between bosa behema and bosa oif. It's all osa, it's all a sakana, and all these things are not allowed to be done. Who are din? Sorry?
It doesn't affect the pot.
It could do, it does actually, yeah. Might make it possible. I'm not sure exactly what halacha we're asking. Might make the pot problematic. Maybe,
why?
I'm not sure. Because it's a food that's osset to eat. The question is whether you ask the pot. It's a question about the belief and everything. I'm not sure exactly what you're passing about. I don't know what you're passing about the pot. If you have such a situation, don't forget to ask the rabbi. Yeah. The same thing with a kishka. A person puts a kishka into cholent, and the mice find there's a log of fish. That's a serious problem. The mice, you've got a problem of sakona, and you can't eat it. So what do we do? It's quite right. Mice on Shabbos, many people do have this. We do have fish and meat in the course of things. So there, the Chazal say the mice, if you break up, separate between the fish and the meat, there's no problem. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber says actually you have to wash your hands, you have to wash your mouth out, eat something. Quite a procedure. The mice, our minhag seems to be much more lenient. What we seem to do, and it's interesting where it comes from this, but our minhag seems to be have a l'chaim or a drink in between the fish and meat. There's no clear which way around it is. Yeah, you can have meat and have fish, or fish and have meat. No difference. Whatever it is, it shouldn't be eaten together. There must be a gap in between. So if you have a drink, many people have a drink, some also actually eat something in between. That, both, is also good, is better. Then there's no problem afterwards with eating. But you shouldn't use the same cutlery. That means someone's had, that's why the minigas have different cutlery. So we have the fish cutlery, use fish cutlery, and afterwards you've had your fish, and you either wash it, or you put new cutlery out, and you have your meat. That is no problem at all. There's no time period here. That's a good point, actually. There's no time period. Quite a good point, actually. There's no time period between fish and meat. As long as you have something, you eat something which is different, you swallow something which is different, that is a separation that's good enough. There's no time period. You can have it straight after.
Why is it such a sudden problem? Not come together with each other.
If I knew the answer to your question, Rabbi, I wouldn't be here. I would be a big rabbi, you know that. Very big rabbi. Very, very big rabbi. If I knew the answer to that question. Right, that's more or less the halachas of fish and meat. The only thing is, Lamai said, that's also interesting. The pastures on Belias, there's no problem. That means, let's say someone's got a fish pot, he cooks fish in it, and then he wants to use that same pot for meat. So not washed is a problem because you've got a bit in there. That's much worse. If it's not washed, you've got bits of fish in there, you've got a problem. But the mice of many people on Mako, if the pot is washed out, and all you've got in there is just bleas, the fish has gone into the walls, and all that's going to come out is bleas of fish coming out, many people hold that's no problem at all. Even so, some people have a separate cave. Some people do have a separate cave for fish and meat, but the mice of Mako didn't. We paskin, there's no problem whatsoever. If you've got a bit of fish that falls into meat, this can happen also actually. Someone's carrying some fish over the chicken soup, and some fish, let's say drops of fish, the juice falls into the chicken soup. So some poskim hold that because it's sakona, there's no bittle. It's never ever nullified. The meister we don't take on, most poskim take on, that shishim, it works like a normal issa. If you have 60 times that amount, then it's nullified. Like a normal milk and meat question, and if you've got that, there's no problem whatsoever.
So we had fish. A meat pot and I put fish in it. I can have that fish with a coffee and my milk and sweets.
Nothing more. You had a fish.
My meat pot, which I finished with.
And it washed out.
Washed out, and I put fish in it in 24 hours. And then I want to have that fish with a coffee or my milk and sweets. That's all okay.
Pashas, please don't make you meaty. Pashas. Yeah. Okay, the other thing is also interesting thing. I might say in the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef brings down some Pei Zion. Dogim v'chagov m'mutter, fish and locust are allowed to eat them together. That's not a problem. You're allowed to eat them together. But the diak is, the maise, it says, it carries on, but the maise, to eat it with cholov is dangerous. Now that is interesting. That seems from the Beis Yosef that fish and milk is dangerous. And this is a chiddush, yeah? And many poskim say it's a mistake. It's a tegiyusa, which is wrong. It should not be right. There's nothing wrong with having fish and milk and fish and cheese. Nothing wrong with it at all. Some people hold that. They say it's a mistake. Many poskim take on that in the tegiyusa is wrong. There's nothing wrong with having fish and milk together. Maestro, remember, we'll be letting this in Kollel, actually. Some people are mapping on this. There are some people who are fussing on this, that they hold that the Gears is correct, and they hold one should not have fish with cheese or with milk. Now, many years ago, I just got married, one of my first experiences in married life was tuna dish with cheese inside.
With pizza?
With pizza? What goes on nowadays is not a kid, I tell you.
Pizza with tuna on it.
Piece of tuna, oh, right, it's the same shayla. So the shayla was tuna with cheese inside. And this is Mamish's question over here. It's fish with cheese. Is it allowed? So I went to ask a particular Rav, and the Rav said, Lamaisa, one shouldn't do it. One shouldn't have it. So since then, I've not done it. But Lamaisa, many people are makel with this, actually. They hold it's no problem. So if you're asking, Mitzad HaLocha, many people are makel with this thing to do, and they hold it's not wrong. But there is a minig in Klal Yisrael, you can't get away from it. There is a minig in Klal Yisrael that people are mappit. They do not have fish with milk or cheese. But butter, they say, is okay. It's not okay. I don't think it's
a killer. Is there a difference between meat and chicken for this sakona?
No. Fossil bay and fossil bay is all the same. No, in this respect, there's no difference between animals and poultry. It's all the same. Well, we can't know why. We don't know why it is like this. But the mice, this is what Chazal tell us, that the person shouldn't have any meat, any chicken with this at all. So I say, this thing of fish, I must say, just before we learned this in Kollel a few years ago, so I had to go to Antwerp for a chasna. And on the airline, we got breakfast, very nice breakfast, actually. It was a roll, smoked salmon, and cream cheese on it, actually. So you see that the kashrus authority wasn't so much on it, obviously. They had it on their roll they were giving out. They had smoked salmon with cream cheese. So I'm saying many people are not worried about it. There are some people who are. There are some people who are worried about this. And therefore, that's an interesting point. Someone actually told me...
The shops who sell sandwiches, that's just me. They have that...
They have it?
Yeah.
What, fish and cheese?
Salmon.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's the same thing. Yeah, it's not so casual. Now, what they serve is not a problem. Yeah, yeah. What? Fish? What? They serve it together? On top? That's the thing. That's the thing. So this smoked salmon cod shoes, that is a question, Eliza. That's the issue. Okay, that is part one of fish and meat, and now some say fish and cheese is a problem, but I said it's fish and meat. The next thing is also very interesting, and this actually is not brought in Shulchan Aruch. Very interesting point is actually, this next halacha is not brought in Shulchan Aruch. This is halacha to Gemara, and the Gemara says that a person mustn't leave garlic, onions, or eggs uncovered overnight, peeled overnight. I stress this, but it's not. This halacha is not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. So there's a big question, and unfortunately, what's going on over here? So Rav Moshe says it's a Das Yochid in the Gemara, and therefore it's not brought. Others say Lemaisa, one should keep this minig. I don't know what's that. I'm not going to do a survey here, but it looks like many people do have this minig of being careful not to have. Yes?
I would say.
What minig?
Maybe you should come a bit nearer, or should I come to you? What should I do? I come to you.
What happened is, a person, this next second is.
See, what's to this dairy word is quite right. He knows what's good. So the next section is, I say, that the Gemara says that a person shouldn't have garlic, onions, or eggs that have been left uncovered, they've been peeled.
Overnight.
Can you hear well? So that's the shot. Can you do that? That's the problem. Now, it's not putting Shulchan Aruch, but it seems to be a very strong minig this not to do this, actually, not to have it. What does it mean overnight? Hold on one minute. Yeah, good question. It's a good question. Good question. Don't run away. Stay at the end of the share. All right. What do you call it? So what's called overnight? What's called overnight? So the Moshe now, Nacht is, let's say, I don't know, what, 5 o'clock? Yeah. Amid Ashachai is, what, 6 o'clock in the morning? Oh. What's called overnight? How long is overnight? So some people that learn, it has to be the whole time period. From 6 all the way through to just Amid Ashachai. Which is very, it can be, it's not so common, about that could be. Others hold no, that's not a criteria. The criteria is just before Amud HaShachar, so let's say Amud HaShachar is at 5 o'clock, if at 4:55 he peels an egg, for example, or he peels an onion, and it goes over to 5:01 or 5:02, wherever it is, where it goes over the threshing mark of Amud HaShachar, then that's also a problem of leaving overnight. It doesn't have to be the whole night. But that claw, one thing, that's definite. If a person, let's say, for example, peels an egg at 6 o'clock at night, and he leaves it open till 12 o'clock at night, there's no problem with having that egg.
It has to be the whole night.
It either has to be the whole night, either, or it has to be over the threshing place of Amud HaShachar. That means it's there just before Amud HaShachar peels, and it goes over Amud HaShachar, not also peeled. That could be a few minutes only. So that's clear, though. In the middle of the night, leaving it for a few hours is no problem at all. It has to be either of these two milestones. Yeah, that's a good point. Also, this halacha is kept in the Bank of England safe, this egg. You put the egg in the Bank of England safe, never mind the fridge. In the Bank of England safe, you put this egg. Its mum is secured, it's bolted, it doesn't help. This thing, the ruach roh, whatever's on there, it seems to go right through everywhere. It's got a crowd to go through everywhere, and therefore, whatever it is, it doesn't help to... So what do you got? Sorry? Oh dear. That's the thing, overnight. It's clear, though.
In the winter, when I'm on the shuttle, it's very, very late. So, if you don't
put your kettle
in straight away, then you have to throw them out.
Salt or maize. Well, I'm not sure what happens with the effort. Wait a minute. I'm not sure what happens. You're asking what happens with the effort.
If you start, I'm saying, I'm on the shuttle in the winter, in the peak of winter.
Give it time.
6 o'clock, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, then.
Then you can, if you peel it, you get them earlier. You peel it at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So far, we'll see what we're ready. See how to get around the problem. That's the problem, if you leave it like that, yeah? So, knock them on. Overnight's a problem. The Gemara is clear from the Gemara. I forgot to bring some onions and garlic with me here today. It's clear from the Gemara that if a little bit of the peel is left on, there's no problem. So, if someone shells an egg and part of the peel remains on the egg, there's no problem at all. In a small amount, tiny amount, who adds in with the onions?
On each egg.
Yeah, on each egg has to be on each egg. Each egg is separate, and each egg has to be there. Who had in on the onion of garlic? You need someone to peel on, there's no problem. Who had in the Gemara says, if the hairs are left on the onion of garlic, that's the end part of the onion of garlic, that also stays there. There's no problem at all. For some reason, the Ruach Ra doesn't come when it's left over. They don't like the hairs, it looks like. Oh, the heart. It's all asking very good questions, and hopefully. I'm coming to answer everything, yeah? Now, that is, if part of the egg is left over, that's right. Now, one interesting thing, I must say, I had this many years ago. I was in a camp somewhere, and I went to buy some, frozen vegetables from Sainsbury's or Tesco. Okay, so I bought those frozen vegetables, I came home, I opened up a packet, and inside there was cut up onions. Now, the problem is that problem? Those are onions that have been left overnight for a long time. So there's a big halacha, a big interesting halacha over here that the poskim seem to bring down, is that if any of these items, the egg, the garlic, or the onion, is mixed with other foods, then there's no problem sakana. For some reason, it takes away the sakana. So for example, when you make an egg dish and you mix oil with it or whatever, or mayo with it or whatever, that's got mixed with something else, no problem whatsoever. The question is now, my packet of vegetables, does that help? So I asked a particular robber, was a robber in the camp there, he said to me it's no good. That's not stuck together. It has to be something, either you've got salt or sugar that you put on it, which it gets absorbed into the onions, that's called mix. But just the fact that it's loose and one has got no connection to the other, that does not help. So the answer in that case would be is to take out the onions, not use them, in such a case, yeah, if it's a problem. But if it's mixed with anything else, you ask about these sandwiches, egg sandwiches, how can we make egg sandwiches? The answer is, the egg sandwich is made in a way that, generally speaking, is mixed with mayo. I must say, recently I had an egg sandwich which has got just sliced egg on top of the roll. Now that, the chayr, is interesting, what happens there? So it could be that there's another eitzah, what the apostle would say, someone put salt or sugar onto this item, then that also helps. Anything which has got salt or sugar on it helps. So maybe they put salt onto this egg.
And the motion holds that it's made for commercial purposes.
Oh, yeah, very good, yeah. That's kind of that.
So if you look at that, it's a big bag of frozen veg. Surely may have put maybe some salt on it.
Maybe, I don't know. It doesn't advertise
it. Keep it fresh.
I don't know. If they preserve it.
Frozen, must put something on it.
If they put something to preserve it, maybe you're right. I don't know. You have to know. One minute. So the thing is over here, this is the halacha of sugar or salt, that's okay. If you look, actually, very interesting, you know, they make these egg yolks and egg whites in containers. I mean, I don't know, the people, not so much cooks, but I know this much, but imagine you can buy egg yolks and egg whites. Now, when it came out originally, people were fucked about this, they'd like it left overnight. So what they've done now is, I forgot to look this time, but what they've done now is, if you look, you'll see in the ingredients, they added salt into it. They've added salt into it to make it that it's not mixed. Ramosha, he's like, right, Ramosha holds that on commercialized things there was never a gazera. Things that are factory produced, there was no gazera. Others disagree with this, and therefore the kashrus authorities who are mapping on this, they put salt in, they add salt in this. But Ramosha holds commercially made stuff is not a problem.
So your frozen bag would be okay, couldn't you?
Yeah, kosher boy should be okay for husband. Yeah, commercially it's a bit of stuff. It's not in the gazelle. The gazelle was only on private people. It's a chiddush, actually. Only on private people. He said the whole thing's a chiddush. You can't go further than a chiddush, the ma'aseh. The chazal only made it on private people. Yeah, but he said the chazal was for general people. It's a motion. I must tell you this very quickly. I once heard a shia from someone many years ago who was an illui. He was an absolute illui, this person. I don't want to mention the name. Even though this person said over to us, this professor. So he said he was giving a shia in Baba Kama, and he went through the Gemara, he went through everything. He gave a shia, very successful shia. He said a few days later, he picked up a tune from Moshe about this mummish Indian, what he was talking about. So he looked through the tshuva, he couldn't understand it. He said, that tshuva was mamish negative how he learned, completely not the way it should be done. So he said to us, he had a mazli, he was in America a few weeks later. He said, he has to go to Ramosha to Ramosha. Couldn't understand it. So a few weeks later, he was in America, and those times he said, you have no problem, you knock on Ramosha's door, you went to Ramosha, sat down, so he came to Ramosha, he said, I'm a maggid shia, I give you a shia. I prepared a gemara and Baba Kama, and such and such. He said, I can't understand it. I've gone through the gemara, I looked at the tshuva, you've written about a certain thing. He said, I can't understand how it doesn't stem. I can't understand it. So he said, come, sit down, let's go through the Gemara together. He said, I don't know when Ramosha looked at that Gemara like that, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, he pulled me to pieces, he said to me. The thing is, you can't be mussy, these Gedolim. We can't understand the gutters of these people. But this person was, he was an Ilui, Mamish and Ilui, I remember him, he was Mamish and Ilui, and he was giving shit on this Gemara. Ramoshi said, I don't know where Ramoshi learned this Gemara last. I've got no idea, but one thing is, he taught me to pieces, Mamish taught me to pieces. So that's what Ramoshi says that. Other possibly disagree, but that's what Ramoshi says. So that is the halachas of a thing. An onion, also, who I did, an onion's in a salad. So if you've got it mixed with oil and mayo, then that's much better. That's already a complete, it's bound together. That lechera is much better. Fried eggs, also, normally you make fried egg, a scrambled egg, you put with oil in, it's also no problem. So there's no problem with that as well. And dried eggs and garlic, that's also interesting. Many poskim see that's okay. It's completely changed from the egg, it's completely changed. And therefore, there's no gzera, interesting, on dried egg and garlic powder. Sorry? Egg and onion together? That's the interesting side of that. Does egg and onion help each other? Yes, that's a good question. Can you mix egg and onion together? It is very finely cut. Somebody says it's quite well joined.
Put salt in it, you put
oil. They're quite big pieces. They're quite big. They don't hold together at all. He's talking about it's cut up, they're quite fine. Egg and onion mixed together is a little shy, actually. Does each one help the other? That's a good question. I never saw this last night, actually. I was preparing this year. Someone tackles my own at this point. He doesn't know. Does egg and onion actually help each other? Good point. Could be. What? What? It depends. Sometimes some people make it on Shabbos, for example. Some people might make it on Shabbos. Actually, this is why they say, this is one of the reasons why the Makoy of people who make egg and onion on Shabbos, actually. Even though when you make egg and onion on Shabbos, you get yourself into a few problems. Actually, you've got a problem of boira, peeling the shells. You've got a problem of toichen when you grind the onions. You've got a problem of losh when you mix the mayo and the oil with all these things. You've got quite a few problems, actually. But they say, some people say the makor for this is because you don't want to have egg and onion overnight left. They don't hold this hetzer of mixing foods. And therefore, they prefer to make it on the time itself. So generally speaking, I'm saying most of the sandwiches you get, I say, generally are not a problem with the egg. So you ask about egg sandwiches. Someone asked about egg sandwiches. Egg sandwiches are not generally a problem. I say the sliced egg, I don't know what they do there. The sliced egg, which has not got any mayo on it at all, it's just a sliced egg, put a few pieces of sliced egg on the sandwich. That I don't know, unless they put salt on. That I don't know. It could have got salt on it. Now, has anyone got any questions so far I've not answered? Now you can ask your questions. Now, you see, that's what I tell you. Why?
How much salt?
Some say it should be 2%. Some say it should be 2%. It's not bittle. There's no bittle. 2%. It's quite a bit. It's quite a bit. I don't know what they put in the egg. I didn't look at the egg yolk and the egg white. They put, it says clearly add salt in. It says clearly add salt in. A drop, what's good? Even though you can't taste it, does that mean? Yeah, I'm kidding. Okay, let's just start the next one, everybody. We've got our money. Let's start the next one. The next one's also very interesting, which is also very well known. This is called Shulchan Aruch, and that is leaving food and drink under your bed. Now, this is a very common question. I remember watching it many years ago. I was at a Rav in Benos camp. And one of the first shilas that come out, this is always a common shila, is that what happens is that the girl has gone to sleep and she's got all her nuts under the table, under her bed. She had a suitcase and she had all... Sorry, one thing I forgot to mention. Sorry. Going back to the egg, onion and garlic. What happens if someone left overnight? What's the halacha if someone left overnight? So some poskim, the Piskei Tshuva brings down Kiv'eger and someone else, Kiv'eger, I can't remember who the other person is, that B'di'evet is mutter. B'di'evet is mutter. However, there are other achron in the Gra, Chochmas Adam, who hold that even B'di'evet is no good. So this one has to ask one own rabbi what to do. Yeah, it's a very curious thing that someone left overnight. Sorry? What, are you talking about the egg? You're talking about the food under your bed? So just to start the next one, there's another halacha now about you mustn't have food or drink under your bed. You could have the Bank of England under your bed, it won't help you either. Even if you're sleeping on the food, you go to sleep overnight, you slept over it, that food is problematic to have. So one has to be careful not to leave food or drink under one's bed. It's a common question, this. The girls, wherever people go to camp, they go to camp, they have their mats, they sleep on the bed, and they realize they go, oh, they're crisp, they're nash, and everything in the suitcase, which is in the suitcase, it's sealed, it's under the bed, and they realize now they've slept over overnight. That's the problem. All right, everybody, say. Amen.